Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our full year 2022 financial earnings call. I'm sitting here together with my colleague, Dr. Riad Noralla, the Chief Financial Officer of Illumeo, and together we will guide you through the key developments of the year 2022. And yeah, in general, we can say that, of course, you all know 2022 was marked by a highly challenging economical environment. In comparison to the previous year, the circumstances have dramatically changed. If you remember, in 2021, we have been able to record one of the strongest years of Illumeo, with a remarkably growth of 20%. In 2022, the high inflation rates have caused a loss in purchasing power, resulting in a consumer sentiment that decreased throughout the whole year 2022, as I'm going to show you in one of the next slides, and which reached its all-time low in the fourth quarter of 2022. And despite this highly challenging economical context, Illumeo succeeded clearly in outperforming the market. After a drop in sales caused by the outbreak of war end of Q1, we took quick action, and I will show you what exactly we did. We stabilized our business in H2 2022. And this also resulted in a positive operating cash flow of 150K in the second half of the year. In Q4 2022, we have been able to record the 11th consecutive profitable quarter. In line with our forecast, our sales in 2022 declined by 9.5% to 45.8 million euro. And the adjusted EBITDA was at 2.2 million euro. If you look at our Italian business that we restructured in the second quarter of 2022, there we optimized the live broadcasting after a strong decline we had in the first quarter of this year, of last year, from a 24-hour broadcasting that we did on our own channel to a 4-7 transmission window that we buy on an existing channel. And this, I'm going to show you in one of the next slides, allowed us to return to profitability with our Italian business in 2022. Also, our video shopping app, Julie, continues to develop very nicely. The app has now over 1,200 channels, over 8 million shopping videos have been played, and thanks to significant improvements we did in user experience, the user retention rate has significantly improved. Finally, regarding the outlook for this year, we expect our sales to remain stable compared to last year, and our adjusted EBITDA is expected to be in the low single-digit million range. Yeah, I'm going to skip our business model, which you probably all know, and go directly on this slide where you see the development of our business since 2020. And yeah, as I said, despite the highly challenging year with consumer sentiment being at the record low in Q4, with Q4 the 11th consecutive profitable quarter. Yeah, on this slide, you can see the consumer sentiment index from the Gesellschaft für Konsumforschung, focusing on our core market, Germany. Already in Q3, I reported that we achieved a record low, but it went even further down to Q4. Never ever such low rates have been recorded in this index, which exists since 1992, so quite a significant amount of time. And yeah, of course, this was driven by high inflation rates, by income losses, by a general negative consumer sentiment. And this all, of course, resulted in a reduced purchase power of the consumers. And as expected, it had an impact on the general market. So on the left side, in the black and white columns, you can see the negative effect that the low consumer index had on the sales of the general German online multi-channel market. It's on the left side, it went down by 12.7%. And on the German traditional teleshopping market, which went down by 32%. So how did Illumeo perform compared to this general market? This can be seen in the column in the middle. Our live business, which is our core business, has clearly outperformed the market, and the revenue only decreased by 7% compared to last year. Moreover, most of the revenue decline came in the first half of last year. In the second half, we stabilized our business. I'm going to show you what exactly we did and what was one of the main factors for achieving this. Yeah, the main factor is our fast supply chain. So here you see the development of the sales rate per SKU, so of the amount of pieces we sold per product line that we have from the first quarter of last year until the fourth quarter of last year. And not surprisingly, after the outbreak of the war, the sales rate dropped, achieving its low in the second quarter. Then we quickly reacted. We reduced the line sizes of the product. So this means, for example, instead of ordering 200 pieces from a ring, product type, we reduced the order to 150 pieces of this ring. And this allowed us to increase the sales rate of the SKUs, to have always fresh and new premieres coming in. And at the same time, and this is what you can see on the top right side, we avoided excess inventory overstock. So the stock level between 31st December 2021 and 31st December 2022 remained stable. Also, if we look at the gross profit margin in percent, we see that also this, despite all the inflation cost, cost increases, our gross profit margin remained quite stable. As I have already said in the summary, we successfully restructured our Italian business. We had the strong decline in revenue, which you can see here, basically which we recorded in the first quarter of 2022. And we then optimized our live broadcasting to a 7-hour transmission window, of course, reduced the revenue, but which was accompanied by a disproportionately high saving in TV broadcasting costs. And thanks to this measure, the whole Italian business returned to profitability. And we are planning with further marketing improvements and customer reactivation campaigns to further increase this profitability. An important pillar of our business model is the digital transformation from our business from a traditional linear TV player to a fully digitalized and highly personalized individual online product presentations. And as you can see on this slide, our non-linear and non-live video shopping revenue channels, for example, our interactive online streams where you can skip product shows and select what exactly you want to see, our non-linear mobile app buying options, or also our fully digitalized, automized TV show Game Robot are getting traction, and all combined grew by 10% compared to last year, which is, I think, quite remarkable in view of the fact that all other channels had to record a decrease in revenue. Yeah, concerning our webshop, we can see that after two exceptional strong growth rates we had in 2020 and 2021, the revenue in 2022 decreased by 8%, mainly caused by the reduction of new customers, which was a consequence of the reduction of the general online search volume for gemstone jewelry related keywords. But the revenue remains clearly above pre-pandemic level. In order to show you this more in detail, we compared the revenue development with the pre-COVID year 2019, and we took the German online jewelry and watches market as reported from the Bundesverband E-Commerce und Versandhandel e.V. And we can see that the consolidated growth rate of our web business outperformed the market by a factor of four. So 22% was the growth of the online jewelry and watches market in Germany, and our webshop grew by 88%. Yeah, also with our video shopping app, Jooli, we made significant improvements in 2022 and achieved important milestones. As we have announced, we developed a personalized AI video feed, which is calculated hourly, so not yet instant real time. We redesigned the app from scratch to improve the user experience and the general attractivity of the app. We implemented an important sales and marketing instrument, which is the voucher system. So merchants can add discounts, which are directly applied into the merchant's shop system automatically. And the whole platform was built in a multi-regional and multi-language setup, which allows fast access to new markets. And as you can see in the picture on the right side, we have developed the first metaverse prototype. On the picture, you can see how this could look like with, for example, Juvelo, our main jewelry brand. In the middle, below the huge black screen, you see our gemstone expert, Thomas, presenting high-value jewelry to customers, which are sitting in form of avatars there, who can interact with each other, who can follow the show, and who can see the jewelry in 3D model directly in front of their faces if they want. So, of course, this is still a prototype, but I think that it gives a good idea on how immersive the future of home shopping will be. On this slide, we summarized important growth KPIs. So on the top left side, you can see the huge growth in channels to over 1,200 channels. We grew in videos watched. The download cost has significantly improved and went down to only 14 cents. And thanks to major improvements in the app, we managed to achieve a significant increase in the daily retention rate, which is highly important because it means that customers come back, that customers like the app, and that they use it more frequently. Here we'll show you the next important milestones of Jooli that will be released in the next weeks, so quite soon. And a very important milestone will be the real-time AI-based video feed. So the possibility for us to optimize the individual shows in real time within the same session after a few data points we get from customers using the app and swiping, they can directly see videos of products of their field of interest. And we expect a massive further increase of the video impressions, of the customer retention, and of the conversions of the app. And in general, I think it can be said that it's an impressive achievement from the Julie team that basically on a technical basis built a TikTok-like experience with only 4 developers. So if we compare this to TikTok with over 1,000 developers, that's quite a difference. And I think something we can be very proud of. A second very important milestone for us is Julie Pay. Julie Pay is the in-app based checkout for customers offering all major, we will start in India, Indian payment methods. We signed a cooperation with Kotak Mahindra Bank to fulfill payment in the highly regulated Indian market. And this will extremely help in conversion optimization and user checkout experience, making the checkout just one click away and making it as easy as possible for our customers. If you look before giving to Riad for the financial data of 2022 and the outlook of Julie, we have also other projects and other improvements that we planned throughout the year. For example, the contextual and voice-based AI that will help to build a virtual assistant where customers can shop without the need of a keyboard. And this will also be very useful, as you can imagine, in the metaverse, where keyboard interaction is not foreseen. We will build an automated self-onboarding for our merchants. So merchants will be able to go through the Know Your Customer process and create an account on our backend Julie platform without having a natural operations manager involved. And this will help us massively in scaling the merchant acquisition even more and bringing down the cost of merchant acquisition. There's also the integration via API with shop systems. So merchants will receive the orders via API directly into their shop systems or platforms. And finally, as we have already seen 2 slides before, we are currently working on an improved metaverse app in collaboration with the Hochschule Düsseldorf.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Let's come to the financials. As Florian already indicated, overall, we are in line with our forecast. Revenues are down by -9.6%, despite really the challenging market circumstances. Gross profit went down by -12.8%, a little bit more. I think this is mainly driven by currency exchange rates. So we could see overall in 2022, the decline of the euro in comparison to the dollar and also in comparison to the Thai baht and Indian rupee. Overall, we succeeded in realizing a positive adjusted EBITDA, and this is for the 11th time. Adjusted EBITDA at 2.2 million euro. Let's take a further look at the adjusted EBITDA and how it derives. We start with a slight negative EBITDA at -0.5 million. The major parts are the followings. On the one hand, this is the impact of our stock option program, which has no impact on cash. Then we have a personal expensive share program, which partly has an impact on cash of 1.1 million. And this is adjusted in 2022, but will be readjusted driven by tax law in Q2 2023. We have the development in Julie of 1.3 million. So overall, adjusted EBITDA at 2.2 million euro. Let's take a look at the earnings after tax. And I think we can clearly see that they are mainly driven by active deferred taxes. So starting from our EBITDA, the amortization, we have an EBIT of minus 1.4 million. And the major impacts is the following: the active deferred taxes, which went down nearly by minus 2 million. Let's take a look at our costs. And I think it was quite important and challenging to decrease our costs on the one hand, and even concerning like the personal costs to stabilize them. Our reach costs mainly went down by minus 27%. This is mainly driven by the Italian TV business, which we clearly optimized and brought to profitability. Our overall personal costs, despite the investments in Julie, are clearly stable. Let's take a look at our key performance indicators. I think the main key performance indicators were here derived. The major point, I think we can, as already Florian said, concerning the net cash flow from operating activities. Overall, it's negative by minus 1.4 million. But as Florian already indicated, H2 in the operating cash flow was positive. Our other key performance indicators are in line with our revenue performance. So we can see that the major part of the decline from 2021 to 2022 is driven by the decrease in new customer acquisition, which is clearly driven by the market circumstances. We compare an inflation 2022, which is driven also by the war in Ukraine, to a Corona lockdown year of 2021. Our outlook. Of course, for 2023, the circumstances and the volatility is quite high. 2023, the war in Ukraine is still there. And so the influences on inflation and on customer demand are quite volatile. So furthermore, we have to take into look that in comparison of the first 2 months 2023 to the first 2 months of 2022, the first 2 months in 2022, they were driven by a positive COVID effect, and then clearly the war break out in Ukraine. So let's take a look further at the outlook of 2023. So our clear target is to be stable. And furthermore, we take into account in our stable forecast that we have a reduction in broadcast win in Italy, which lasted in the first months of 2022. For the web shop, we expect the sales growth in 2023 in the low single-digit percentage range. Gross profit shall be stable at over 50%, and adjusted EBITDA is expected to be in the low single-digit million range.
Yeah, many thanks, Riad. Many thanks. This was the full year 2022 presentation. And I would like now to open the Q&A session. And it would be great if you could use the Zoom function to raise your hand if you have questions. So I can see Mr. Frey raised his hand. I think, okay. I think you will need, you need to switch on the microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Ah, now I can hear you.
Sorry.
Good morning, Mr. Frey.
Good morning. I first tried the Zoom function to unmute me, but I forgot that we obviously need to allow that for me. Well, thank you for the elaborate presentation. I'll probably start a bit with the existing or the core business, hopefully former core business at some point in time. if you look at your four growth rates, of course, year on year, might somewhat, but there is, I would say, a sequential improvement in growth. And is that a bit the base case that we should see that, well, looking more or less at the H2 numbers from last year and expect a bit of slight improvement, hopefully in a more or less linear fashion to arrive at our stage forecast for the current year. And a bit related to that, I think you said you changed a lot in the assortment and it had already positive effects. Is there anything which you can do to more or less still further optimize that, or I should we basically say, well, yeah, it already is all set up and we need now some campaign from the market as well.
Yeah, could you repeat the second question? It's I don't know. It's probably the internet connection, but it's the audio quality isn't perfect.
Oh, sorry. What I mean is, you've changed so much in your assortment quality that is there further potential, or do you need tailwind from the markets?
Concerning our products.
Concerning your products.
Okay. Well, of course, I would then start directly with this question. This is a process that never ends, and that always offers new potential. So we know that buying behavior in our customers can quickly change, and we see that offering new collections of jewelry, trying out something new that is gemstone related, but that maybe goes a little bit away from very traditional rings, earrings, or traditional well-known types of jewelry, is something our customers like very much. So, in fact, yes, there is room for further improvement in the product assortment, for broadening the product assortment. With new channels, we will also be able to target new customer groups, maybe also a slightly younger customer groups. And this will then, of course, result in the need of a slightly adapted product range. So yes, I see definitely potential in the product assortment. And as we have built a platform where we can easily onboard new partners, new jewelry supply partners, this is something we can very easily do. It's not like a couple of years ago where we had our one manufacturer, but we have now a system with over 40 with our 40 vendors. So that is quite a significant change and a platform that will easily allow this. Exactly. And your first question was related to Julie, correct? So it would be...
Is it probably better now?
It's much better now.
Oh, I changed something in the configuration, sorry.
Perfect. It's much better now.
I just want a bit to get a bit of sequencing more or less in the quarters, because obviously you will be down year on year in the first quarter, I presume, in terms of revenues. But I alluded a bit to the improving sequential sales level. I think you've been pretty much at 11 million sales in quarter two and quarter three last year, now 11.4 in the last quarter. So there's a slight positive sequential trend visible. And if this is more or less your base assumption that we will have from this post-Russian invasion sales level, a slight sequential trend built in the numbers, and more or less should discard a bit the Q1 2022 level as still COVID related. That was a bit the idea.
Yeah. Okay. No, I am sorry for jumping a little bit between the slides, but basically, the general trend can be seen here. Most of the revenue reduction we had came end of Q1 and beginning of Q2, or in general in Q2. In the core business, we stopped the revenue decline and stabilized the business. So if we look at 2023, as Riad has said in the outlook, of course, we have to take into account that the first half of Q1 compares to a totally different market situation where we still had Corona effects. The war only started on the 24th of February. So I think this is something that should be taken into account. But the general stabilization of the business, of course, is there and will of course, develop very positively.
Sounds good. And in terms, I think you mentioned that more or less acquiring new customers is kind of the issue which has slowed you down. How do you currently see new customer acquisition costs and payback times? And is this mostly a function of a hesitancy to order, or I guess marketing costs are not so much the issue as
exactly.
CPM prices are generally declining?
Exactly. So the problem is not that somehow the cost increased or that there are any permanent problems in new customer acquisition. We can very easily relate this to the general consumer sentiment index. And once this improves, of course, new customer acquisition will improve. We already see this. So November, December already slightly improved in the consumer sentiment, and also the beginning of the year, we can definitely see that things improve here. So it's a temporary effect. And the revenue decline in the webshop is not related to existing customers. It really comes from the missing new customers. But we have improved our marketing. We have targeted a little bit more specifically the customers. We spend a little bit more on retargeting because currently this hesitance to buy that you mentioned is there and needs some more retargeting. But we can clearly see that the situation here is continuing to improve.
So I guess the collective bargaining agreements with huge wage raises should definitely be positive news for you at least. I'm not sure how many people we have in the queue. I would have some questions on Julie, but if I don't want to monopolize you, is it still okay to go on?
Yeah, absolutely. So for now, you're the only person who has raised the hand. So please go on, Mr. Frey.
I particularly liked regarding Julie the increased retention rate you alluded to.
Exactly.
Because of course, we have only now two data points, but this would, in theory, confirm mostly that there is this positive network effect. You increase the number of channels, and then automatically you have a network effect. More people stay on and shop there. Your AI works better. Is that if you have more look at these data in more granularity on monthly data or whatsoever, is this correlation with the increase of the number of channel also visible if you analyze it in a more detailed way?
Yeah, of course. So you're totally right in your analysis, and very good KPI we have here is the significant improvement in the retention, which of course is a consequence of the amount of channels, because Julie, with the idea of inspirational personalized shopping, only works if we have enough channels to really offer personalized shopping and really target the interest of the customers. And if we have all the data points we need, so we needed a lot of videos watched, a lot of videos viewed to really have to feed our AI algorithm. And together with user experience KPIs, we have this this very important improvement. So this is a result, but it's only a start. So we expect this KPI to increase much further with a real-time feed, because now we have the hourly optimization. And the hourly optimization makes it difficult for someone who decides within 30, 40 seconds if he wants to continue to use the app or not. And the real-time AI feed will make a significant difference here. And also, of course, Julie Pay, which makes it so easy for customers to buy something without needing to leave the app or to register in a different shop or whatsoever, will definitely have a major impact on this retention rate and on the using and buying frequency for customers of Julie. And for the data that we need in order to feed the AI, of course, this is why we are focusing also so much in India, because we get the same data, the same quality of data at a cheaper cost. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is the reason why India is in the focus so much now.
Yeah, it's a perfect start market. And just quickly on the Julie Pay conditions, do you feel disadvantaged or in terms of the conditions that Kotak Mahindra offered you relative to larger players, or is it that a very reasonable variable fee based on the amount of transactions and volume you have?
Yeah, so it's a pretty stable market with clear conditions. So not at all. I think that's conditions are same as for other companies. So we don't see any disadvantage.
Sounds good.
It's really the important thing is to really get into the market, so to be onboarded. That was an important step. But once you're in, conditions are totally fine.
Sounds great. So I will leave it there because I've seen you've got some questions in the chat as well. So thanks for the elaborate answers.
Yeah, many thanks, Mr. Frey. Good morning, Jürgen Pop. So Jürgen's asking, how are you financing Julie in the future, external investors? Yeah, so currently we are financing Julie out of our cash flow, and it's also planned to for the next year, if we look at these very important milestones that will be launched in the next weeks. This is all financed out of our cash flow. But of course, we are exploring all options that exist there. And exactly, there might be a very interesting attraction that we can get also from other possibilities to finance this in the future. We are currently not disclosing revenue figures with Julie simply because monetization will only start in Q3 of this year. So currently, there's no reason to disclose revenue figures. Yeah, then if there are no further questions, many thanks. For your continued support and interest in our company. Thanks for having joined the call. Have a good day, everyone. Take care and bye-bye.